We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Good to Paul Hamilton after last night's Sabres win. Taking your calls on, Brandon Bean's comments. We'll get to Sal at 7:30. Joe Marino, the Draft Network at 8, so plenty of bills to come, and also, Paul here on the Sabres.
Currently we're looking for a website to find the NHL standings by points percentage.
Okay.
Just so I can look at the Sabres in a playoff spot, just to see it.
Paul, do you have what, website favorites? Are you re-bookmarking NHL.com?
I think he's NHL.com.
/ standings. I mean, we've got standings to watch.
Yeah, the NHL.com. If you go to team stats, you won't actually get the standings, but they'll give you the teams in point percentage at in order.
Look at this, Paul.
Okay,
coming through right for you.
That's right. I'm doing it right now.
There you go.
There it is. Eighth place.
So just go to team stats.
All right.
Perfect. Paul, it's the 17th time they've scored 5 goals, which leads the league. And I don't know, it feels like a familiar refrain for this Sabres team, which is, in the words of Don Granato, I've heard you say it too, they outscore their problems.
Yeah, you outscore your mistakes, and you win a hockey game. And, we talked about this schedule before it started, back in the first home Minnesota game to start March. It's basically Minnesota game through Minnesota game, where it's just one of the hardest schedules I've ever seen as far as playing games, 12 and 23 days. And, You saw it in St. Louis. I mean, they came out fast. They were playing well. They have a 4-0 lead. They're 24 minutes into the game. And then all of a sudden, it's like St. Louis starts chipping away at it. And, Buffalo, you could just tell, they weren't dead yet as far as energy, but it was starting to wear on them as they had a game the night before, a tough game against the Dallas Stars. And, but unlike teams in the past, we've talked about probably 10 years in the past, they found a way, they gutted it out. It's okay. We're not feeling real good right now, but Don Granato always says you're not always going to feel great, but that doesn't mean you can't win the hockey game. That doesn't mean that you have to lose just because you're starting to get fatigued or you're starting to get that. And it wasn't fatigue right away. Granato, after the game, talked about they got in a few bad habits too. Just they got a little fancy, I think is the way he put it. But then it became they got tired, and here you are in the third period. Now it's only a goal, and that's when Luukkonen steps up and makes big saves at big times for them, especially on Tarasenko. Tarasenko had to be shaking his head. He had like 4 golden opportunities in that period, and Luukkonen was there at every turn against him. And they found a way. They just gutted it out and, got the – and, example of somebody who will do anything to win a hockey game, look at what Dylan Cousins did on the empty net goal.
Yeah. Cousins is
just the effort that he put in on that empty net goal to put it away.
Paul, you've been really high on Cousins pretty much since he showed up. We opened the show – and one of the things I said to Joe was that this Sabres team, there's a similarity I see between the 05-06, and it's not about like how they play. It's the number of players that could make a case for being someone's favorite player. And, like, Cousins, to me, jumps out about that last night. His play, he is consistently smart, skilled, determined, works hard. Like, man, Dylan Cousins is a gem of a hockey player. Not that it was in much doubt. I mean, he's a high pick, but he is really putting it all together right now.
Remember we were talking about, well, last year it was Thompson. Who might be the guy this year? And Cousins was the first guy I went to. And I said, I don't know if he's going to score 38 goals. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, as a guy that maybe, you know, it's going to be his time maybe to pop out. And not that he wasn't good before, but he just keeps getting better. Look at him at faceoffs. You know, now they put him out for faceoffs all the time, and he does a pretty good job of winning them. When they need a faceoff one, and he couldn't do that a year ago. He wasn't good enough at it. But he just works at it, and he works at it. And he gets angry if he's not improving at it. And just something like that, how much better he is at faceoffs than he was even a year ago, just by putting his mind to it that I'm going to get better at that. Because I want to be the guy, I want to be the person in overtime that Granato puts over the board to say, all right, we need to win the faceoff because we have to have possession. And that's exactly what they do now. And he wins it almost every time. And it's just his mindset.
And how about that line as a whole? I mean, Quinn and Paterka, like, they don't usually see the ice late in games, and they'll put Cousins on a different line. So it's not always the full game, but I don't want to say Cousins is carrying them, but is it almost more impressive that Cousins is having this season with two rookies on his line?
I think you could say he was carrying them for most of the year. I mean, when they were going good, you know, he was going good also with them. And, you know, even though they are struggling somewhat, he's not, you know, they find other ways to get him out there. And, you know, he'll be one of the reasons why those two, I think, get going again. You know, I think they will. You know, I think Paterka and Quinn are good hockey players. I really do. And just because they're rookie of the year, there are times where they're struggling a little bit. Yeah, they are. But, you know, I think there are going to be times again this year where the puck's going to start going into the net for them. It's not now. But I think it will, and I think that's going to be a good line for them for years to come. You know, once all three of them are, you know, accustomed to the NHL. Let's put it to that, like that.
On Cousins, Paul, I don't know if we should be on like contract watch, but he's the next player they're going to soon identify as cornerstone piece, right? Like this, it's a matter of time. I see projections for 7 years and whatever it might be. But I'd imagine that's high on the list of things for Kevin Adams to do.
Well, even, you know, Boldy's different because he's a winger, but he just got a contract with Minnesota, the same draft. And so I remember as soon as I saw the contract, I tweeted out, I go, is this Dylan Cousins' next contract?
Is that 7-for-7, I think, that Boldy got? Yeah,
it was.
And he does not have the same product, like 33 points this year. 14 goals, like at least offensively, Paul, he got that deal. And Cousins, I mean, he's far beyond that right now.
And Cousins is a center.
Right.
So, but I don't know. Does Cousins get more than Tage Thompson? Because if you inch that contract up too much more, now you put him past Tage Thompson. And the thing is, it's not, if you're Cousins' agent, you can say, well, it's not our fault that Tage Thompson accepted a deal that he's going to outgrow probably by next year, you know, type of a thing. That's what Tate Thompson does. That's his business. You know, we're looking at what we want to do right here. So, you know, that's the thing. If you're the Sabres, do you want to get Dylan Cousins past Tage Thompson? Because this isn't where you can renegotiate. You can't say, well, we're going to give Thompson. It's not like the NFL where, all right, well, we'll redo the contract to get so-and-so, like Stefan Diggs as a wide receiver. Well, we'll redo the contract to get him up with the other wide receivers. So you can't do that. There's no renegotiating contracts in the NHL.
Paul, there might not be anything to this, Paul, but I wonder your thoughts on it. The Sabres have, if I'm doing my math right here, the second highest win percentage on the road, third highest, in the Eastern Conference. Boston and New Jersey are better. But the Sabres are 14-7-1 on the road and 11-12-2 at home. Is there anything to that? Would you just chalk that up to randomness? What do you think?
They do well when it's exciting, and they play in, they've won in some exciting buildings: Boston, Colorado, Dallas, places that are rocking, of course their building, they're so much better when it's a big night and there are a lot of people there, and they just do so much better with that. It's hard to explain, and it's something they realize. It's something they realize with the young team that, they've got to get the young team to understand, all right, if there's only 12,000 in the building for this game, and they're kind of waiting for you to be the guys that are to fire them up, type of thing. You have to be able to play with that also. And, that's you're going to get a team that needs to learn. And, that's something, they'll learn as they go along, and they'll get better at as they go along. So, that's something they're going to have to do. And if you would like, I was going to tell you, points percentage for on the road, the Sabres are 8th. In the NHL, 6.59. I was looking that up as we were talking. So right now they have their 8th best on the road in the National Hockey League with a 6.59 points percentage. 6.59. I mean, that's great. If they, can you imagine if they just were average at home? Just average, average record at home.
Do you
where
know
where they would be right now? That would be another 8 or so points onto their record.
You say, like, they do well when it's exciting in some of these other buildings. Do you know the splits of their record at home based on attendance?
I think I saw this last night.
Here you go, Paul. This is your stat of the day. Sabermetrics on Twitter put this together. When the attendance in the arena is 17,000 or more, the Sabres are 5-2. And when it's 17,000 or less, they are 6-10-2.
Yep. There you go.
So, you're like, the point about how They get up for the big games. It's kind of like, all right, Sabres fans,
get in the building.
do your part for the playoff stretch, because they do. You said it on the road. It's true at home. They play better in front of big crowds. Maybe that is a sign of a young team. I thought last night was an example, Paul. When it goes from 4-0 to 4-3, I thought, all right, if they lose this game, we're gonna come in and talk about, they're young. Sometimes that's going to happen to young teams. You'll talk about the playoffs are a process. You got to grow. They don't. I mean, they ultimately win the game. But, Granato's constantly walking that line between a team that's young, how hard to be on them when they make mistakes, versus a team that is really stepping into, hey, it's time to get the job done and win games. And maybe that attendance number at home is something about it, that they just play, they play freer, looser, more energetic when they've got a full building at home.
Yeah, where I would have gone had they lost that game is this schedule this year, this week, this month. Even this week, the four game, they're playing four games this week to finish off this hard schedule. It is a thing. I mean, to me, it's really the only reason why that game got close last night is because of the schedule. But with this group of guys, they're not always going to find a way to win, but they do a lot. They do a lot more than they used to. A lot more than they used to. They find a way to, hey, we're going to win. Now, it's kind of funny, we're talking about their road record and their home record. I thought the road record, when I was going to look it up, was going to be better points percentage. I thought they were going to be like in the top three. In the home record, I thought they were going to be worse. They're 24th. They're with a 480 points percentage, which actually the team they played, the St. Louis Blues, are right under them. I actually thought they were going to be right at the bottom of the league when it came to the home record. So they're not quite. They are 24th, but still, it's something that needs to be better. As I said, if it was just average, they would, this race, it wouldn't even be a race right now. They'd be entrenched in it right now.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline on the Sabres. So next up, Winnipeg. And we're watching the standings. We're talking about three games out, three games in hand. I don't know, Paul. Things are good. Things are good. This schedule has been a lot of work for them, And I wonder, you know, what you think they should do. There are now rumors out there about trades. About, I mean, Jacob Chychrun's name has been out there for a long time. Timo Meier's name shows up last night. Pierre LeBrun reporting the Sabres would be after Timo Meier in San Jose. So, you know, I know we often talk about Kevin Adams not going to go crazy, but do you think that if they were in this spot by deadline day, that he might want to say, yeah, I can spend a little bit of an asset, not go crazy, but catch a little bit of the fever and try and get this thing into the playoffs?
Well, look at ages. If you're talking about somebody who's 28 or 29, that's different than if you're talking about somebody who's 25 or 26. 25, you know, he's looking for somebody that not only is going to help now, but is going to help down the road. Chychrun would fit that bill. Offhand, I don't know how old he is. I know he's in that range.
Yeah. Timo Meier's 26.
Yeah. There's a guy that can help you for a while. You know, and that's the type of trade he's looking. That's the type of trade he would give up assets for, I think, is getting a player like that. So, but if you're talking about, let's say, a guy who scores goals like Jeff Skinner, but is Jeff Skinner's age, that's not the trade he's going to make. It's just not. He's not going to give up a bunch of assets to pull that player in as a rental or a guy that's going to be here for a year or something like that. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for the Alex Tuch move. You know, a guy that's, you know, Alex Tuch arrived here when he's 25 years old and is going to be a big part of this team for years to come. You know, that's the move he's looking for down the line.
Well, it's going to be exciting. The deadline is a little over a month away, and we'll see where they are by the time that's all said and done.
I was just looking at the Western Conference. You know, here they are. They just beat the Dallas Stars, who lead the Western Conference in Dallas. The top three in the Central, Colorado, they've won in Colorado. The team who is third in the Western Conference, Vegas, they've won in Vegas. You know,
yeah.
Now it's time to head to Winnipeg, who right now are number two in the Western Conference and have just beaten you in Buffalo. In the wild card, Edmonton and Calgary are the two wild card teams. They've won in both those places. It's just crazy.
It's pretty good.
They won in Boston. I mean, honestly, I'm almost like the 8-game losing streak is going to be the thing for this. Like, if they just miss, it's off. Only I could have got 5 points out of that 16.
Yeah,
they have losses to the Coyotes at home.
The Flyers.
They lost to they lost to Chicago. There's some bad losses in there. But as Paul's pointing out, there's top wins too.
Now, so in the Eastern Conference, you look at the playoff teams, they haven't beaten quite as many as them. Boston, of course, is the number one team in the NHL. They've won there. That's a huge win. They've also won in Washington, who right now hold the last wild card position. So they have beaten two of the playoff teams on the road in the Eastern Conference. Western Conference, it seems like they're ripping right through it.
Paul Hamilton. Thanks, Paul.
Take care, guys.
Paul's reports on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Raylax Honda. Raylax, we've got this.
Does the biggest hurdle to them seemingly making the playoffs, does it even have to do with them, or is it just that it's Crosby and Ovechkin in the two spots that you'd have to jump into?
Yeah.
Like the fact that it's Pittsburgh and Washington, if it were the Islanders in that spot right now, or if it were the Rangers or the Devils even.
Would I feel different?
Would you feel different, right, if the Devils were in eighth?
No, I don't think so.
Pittsburgh, because those two teams, it always just feels like, oh, they'll make it. It's automatic.
That's true. That's fair.
But that doesn't have to be the case anymore, because I know they are both. The Sabres are the youngest team in hockey. I think Pittsburgh's the oldest. I think Washington has got to be up there.
I think you should include Florida here.
I agree.
Even though Florida is tied with the Sabres and behind in games, and they're having not a great year. Last year they won the President's Trophy. I think they're still alive. And MoneyPuck.com puts their odds at the playoffs as the exact same as the Sabres right now.
Yeah. They're the most talented team, I think.
Yeah.
Like, top to bottom. The coach is maybe getting a lot of heat there. And Paul Maurice is only in his first season. But, yeah, a lot of talent.
Aaron Rodgers. I'm looking at all the potential cap implications for the Packers if they trade him. If they trade him after June 1st, it's only a $15 million dead cap hit.
For Green Bay?
Yeah.
And that's when it gets, like, spread out to a second year?
I believe so, yes. $15 million. If he gets cut, the cap hit is, wait for it, $99 million. Feels like that's not going to happen.
I don't see that happening.
So it's actually the cheapest route for them. The cheapest one is a post-June 1 cut,
yeah.
$15 million, and then, yes, push some into next year, and then, you know.
It is still hefty. It would be, yeah, post-June 1 would be $15.8 million this year and $24.5 million next year.
Okay.
But well, the cap going up would probably
the cap going up, and if you are the Packers, if the Jets are willing to give you, if it's the Jets that he goes to, premium assets, here's the question: should the Jets be willing to trade multiple firsts? They should one is a non. Of course, yes.
You're not even in the room without it.
You can't get in the conversation without saying yes. We'll give you a one. Do they want? What do the Packers want? Three? Do they want two? I mean. Some of these younger quarterbacks, like Deshaun Watson, that trade is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
He's younger. I mean, not that you should have wanted him, but he's younger. With Rodgers, you're thinking how many years if you're the Jets? Two?
2 years. Do you trade a first-round pick per year you have Aaron Rodgers? Are you willing to do that?
You might be, and part of the reason you might be if you're the Jets is you just had a draft where you had a million picks.
And you probably nailed all of them.
You got three drafts worth of stuff in this last draft. Now, you know, plenty might say that's not a reason to get loose with draft picks, but two first-rounders, and if you're the Packers, taking on those big cap hits, the easiest way to get past that and make that make sense is to get additional cheap labor in the form of draft picks.
Yeah. For the Packers, by the way, they're in an interesting spot just because they've burned through the entirety of Jordan Love's rookie contract. So they have to decide. I don't think they're going to do it. They have to decide right now if they're going to give him the fifth-year option. He has not played. And he could play this year, and he's a free agent if you don't pick it up. So they're about to move on from Rodgers. Their quarterback they drafted to replace him is now 25 years old, and they have no idea whether or not he's even going to be there past this season.
Well,
I mean, he might not be good at all and not matter, but...
Between the Packers, if they do this, the Bears, with all of what they've got, picking first and Justin Fields, and the Lions, who just had a good year, the NFC North could actually be interesting for the first time in a long time. I mean, it's been...
It wasn't. The Lions were interesting, but not for the division.
Right. This year, the Vikings go out and win it in a kind of a fluky year where they win all those one-score games. But for a long time, the NFC North has been... The Packers and maybe another team will finish 500.
Like the Vikings would, there would always be like a Sunday night game, week 12, and the Vikings are two games out.
Yeah. To me, I want to look at, would it give me the Lions to win the NFC North next year? I bet their value is pretty good right now.
I don't think I would want to bet you on that because I kind of like that.
Right?
The Lions to win the NFC? Could they be favored?
The NFC North.
NFC North is what I meant, yeah.
Definitely not favored. They're going to be behind Minnesota. They're going to be behind Green Bay until Rodgers gets traded, if he does. But, man, everybody's just talking Rodgers to the Jets. It's almost like shocking to me how much traction that's getting so early. Sal's on the other side. We'll recap Brandon Bean's press conference and continue talking about the Bills as we kind of look back on what went wrong and where to go from here. Jeremy White, Jody Biasi on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.